blessed sunlight dawning on that day, glad day, when the victory we will sing as we see our glorious King. Glad day, glad day. Joy of the awakening on that day, glad day. Oh, to see the beam of gladness on the face once more with sadness, glad day, glad day. How I long from earth to sever with the saints caught up together, with the Lord to be forever. Glad day, glad day. I am looking for the meeting, for the joyful, happy greeting on that day, glad day, when the Lord will come in power with his saints, his greatest hour. Glad day, glad day. How I long from earth to sever with the saints gone up together, with the Lord to be forever. Glad day, glad day. I am waiting for the sharing with Christ's beauty, I'll be wearing on that day, glad day. There will be the consummation and the fullness of salvation. Glad day, glad day. How I long from earth to sever with the saints gone up together, with the Lord to be forever.
I was thinking when they sang that song, how we're longing for that day. Do you really, how do you feel, what does that make you feel like when you think of the day Israel is going to bow their knees? That's our answer prayers. That's prayers being answered. And we don't know how God's going to do it. We really don't. But we do know every knee shall bow and confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Well, he's given us pastors and preachers and teachers and even members of the body. You know, there's no useless members. We can all know the truth. But this one thing that Julie and I talked about was be still. You be still. Stop trying to be like the Most High God. Stop trying to be the Christian, to be all these things. Be still and know. I am God, not you, not things, not other people. You need to be still, be quiet before God, and wait, and know that he is God. It's nothing else. There's one God, just like there's one way, one truth. And everything is like, there's people who I want to be like the Most High God. People don't actually say that, but Satan did say it. And what happened? A fall. Pride comes before a fall. Well, it's not others. It's not things. It's not idols. I mean, sometimes we have idols and we don't even know we have an idol. You worship an idol. Oh, they told me exactly what to take and I'd be healed. You know, there are so many ways. I mean, I'm looking at even, there's ways to lose weight. Let's just use that as an example. oh, someone told me this and someone told me that. And oh, I thank God for Weight Watchers. And because I used to be a Weight Watcher and I did watch weight. But when it came time, I received honor for going and meeting my goal, for coming to the end of that. And I actually got a golden key with a diamond. And it grieved my heart because I had to stand there and I wasn't grown enough. There are people who are, but I wasn't grown enough to know. But Jesus, God still, by the power of the Holy Spirit, taught me. You are going to have to give glory and honor now to Weight Watchers. Not because God allowed you to go to Weight Watchers. See, I'm not saying you can't do those. It's your attitude in your heart. If I couldn't have that, it would never happen. Or if I didn't take this, I couldn't lose this. It's know that God is the one behind it. He's the one. Lord, keep me going with this. Keep me on that plain path. And when you start reaping of those results, it's like you love it because you do feel lighter and you're able to fly higher. And it's like, as I thought of God is love. God is not just love. God is patient. God is kind. God is long-suffering. And it came out in the testimony. We need to hear God's word. As we hear it, believe it, receive it. And I believe there is a scripture. He said, you let them speak, but you others judge. Make sure it's of the word of God. In Jeremiah chapter 11, because we did talk about the speaking, but tonight I want us to really meditate on hearing. You know, you can hear your mom calling you in, but do you go in the house right away? Or the Lord is saying, I'm tenderly calling you. I've made a way. I'm still trying to get you to come. Come this way. I've been telling you this is the way. Come get it. As I looked at Jeremiah 11, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah. And remember, he was a weeping prophet. And he had a lot to weep about. He came to Jeremiah from the Lord saying, the word came to Jeremiah from the Lord. And this is what he said. Hear ye the words of this covenant and speak to the men of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. Jeremiah, you need to listen. Because what I tell you to say, you are to go to these people and you are to say these words. Now, only God is going to bring the increase. I'm not sending you, Jeremiah, because you're going to change anybody's mind, anybody's heart. They should have ears to hear. They've been given the ears to hear. Hear ye the words of this covenant and speak to the men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And say thou unto them, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, cursed be the man that obeyeth not the words of this covenant, which I commanded your fathers in the day that I brought them out of the land of Egypt. And when he brought them out, what did he say? He told Moses, I am going to deliver my people. Do we hear that? I am going to deliver you. It's eternal life. But he wants us to hear the words and allow it to get in our hearts. And we believe and say, he's going to deliver me. He's delivering me from the sin of the past, the penalty and the guilt of sin. But he wants to deliver us over the power of sin in our lives today. Anything that's tempting you or causing unbelief or bringing fear, when he said, fear not, have I not commanded you to be strong and of good courage? You see, those words are beautiful, but when they become your words from him, that's when he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. Because he's talking. God has been trying to tug on hearts. And I can only speak for myself. He will tug at your heart. He will talk to you. No man sees the work he's doing, but he's still tenderly and patiently calling you. And he said, when I commanded your fathers in the day I brought them out, I'm the one who brought them out of the land of Egypt. And when I saw the blood, what did he do? He passed over them. from the iron furnace, saying, obey my voice and do them according to all I command you, so shall ye my people, and I will be your God. We've been told in Paul's epistles, come out from among them. Be ye separate. Touch not the unclean thing. He said, I want to dwell in your hearts. I want to be the God of your life, the living God. You are the temple of a living God. And he wants to dwell in you, to talk with you, his very presence. When we refuse to listen, we take ourselves right out of the presence of God. We just go, no, I'm going to go my own way. I'm going to do what I want to do. And that's normal. I mean, it's like, it's called rebellion. You rebel against the truth. And what happens? You become hard-hearted. It's only because we didn't listen to the word of God. It's the word that's going to soften your heart. We go, oh, Lord, I want to be tender-hearted. Well, you've got to listen to my voice then. Listen to the words and apply them where? Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Your word is what is a lamp to my feet. It's a light into my path. It is your word that I'm able to see which way to go, what to say, if I buy something or if I don't buy it. Simple thing. Should I go to the meeting? Do we even ask God? Usually, I just say, no, I'm going to go to the women's fellowship, and I didn't even ask God. Lord, are you going to have me go that way? Is this where you want me to go? And then he will answer you. I've been asking in certain ways of my life, Lord, would thou have me to do this, or would you have me to do that? I don't know, Lord, but I know who does. And we have to listen. He that hath an ear, listen to what the Spirit is saying to us. So then he says, I want to perform the oath which I swore to your fathers to give them. I wanted to give them a land flowing with milk and honey, as it is this day. Then answered I and said, so be it, Lord. And the Lord said to me, proclaim it. Okay, proclaim all these words in the cities of Judah, in the streets of Jerusalem, saying, hear ye the words of this covenant, and do them. Then I looked over, and I said, I'm not going to read all these, but I went over in verse 12. We'll go to 11. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, behold, I am going to bring evil upon you, and they shall not be able to escape. He will allow it. They're not going to be able to find a way. He's not allowing these things to harm us. He wants them to see there's no true way of escape. The only way to go is through Jesus Christ our Lord. And he says, therefore, thus saith the Lord, behold, I will bring this evil upon them, which they shall not be able to escape. And though they cry unto me, I'm not going to listen to them. Then shall the cities of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem go, and they're going to cry unto the little gods, those little idols, those things they're believing in. I want them to cry out to those things. I want the people, even the people of God. When you put something above God, when you're going through a trial, do you call on those things? At those times, we're to call on God. Be still. I want you to know I truly am God and I can do this. They're going to offer incense, but here's what's going to happen. They're not going to save them at all in the time of their trouble. He said those things are not going to deliver them. There's one way to be delivered, and that's through Christ. And as I looked at this and I got thinking, and the Lord said, well, in Ephesians 1, what did I say? He said, there are so many, you can turn there, Ephesians 1. And he said, half, just the word half. It's been done. And he said, go to Ephesians 1. And as we look on this, we see in Ephesians 1, he's saying even 3, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath, there it is, hath blessed us with what? All spiritual blessings in the heavenlies in Christ. Hath already done it. Now, are we rejoicing in that? Are we excited? The church of Ephesus, full purpose church, you had it all. Just like us, we're seated in heavenly places in Christ. He hath already gave you this blessing. But it must become practical in your life that you are able to see that every one of these gifts that have been given to us, all these blessings, it's for the new man. And he said, you've been blessed with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath already chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. So before you could ever try to do something and blow it, you must be found in him. It was already before ordained. It was already God's, what he had predestined to do. It was already done. He said, this is what's going to happen. I'm going to call them. I'm going to bless them. I'm going to sanctify them. They're going to have wisdom, which is Christ. They're going to have redemption. All of it. It's going to be all taken care of. He said, according he hath chosen us, not because of our good works, not because I go to church every Sunday, not because I read my Bible. I am chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy. We should be holy and without blame before him in what? In love. He predestinated us unto the adoption or the placing of sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein, in what? His grace. Not my works, his grace. But didn't he say, when I'm weak, then I'm strong? Because he has to give you the grace to walk in. What are you doing with the grace he gives us? Penny, what are you doing? I give you the grace. You know, I may say, well, I was just waiting on the Lord. God already knows. Did he give us the grace? Has he been fulfilling his promise to us? He gives you the grace. He said he made you accepted in the beloved. Are you enjoying that yet? Because that's one of your blessings. In whom, Christ, we have redemption through his blood. We have the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of what? His grace. It's his grace. He gives us the grace. He giveth more grace. It's all about God's grace. His grace is sufficient for me. That's why we say, Lord, take this away from me, or make that person, or make my kids behave and make them walk the holy way. You know, we just tell God, make them do this and make it. God is the giver of increase. He does it in his time, but he has people preaching this word and showing them, you're already accepted, honey. I've already blessed you as a new man. These are yours. You must lay hold of them. And when you say, well, I am accepted, you won't want to try to be accepted anymore. You're already accepted by the highest of all, the very highest one. He's accepted you. Whose acceptance do we need? And he said, he had made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure. Now, I want you to get this, because there's a reason why the Holy Spirit took me here. He said, I want you to see first, he that hath an ear, preach my word, show them they've been blessed. They have been accepted in the beloved. I made the way of redemption. I made the way of sanctification. It's all there. And we hear it and we rejoice in it. Do we continue in it? Or do we allow other things? It's in the scripture. There are things that come by and they bring us over, they distract you. So you get off the path and you go over here and get distracted. Get back on that race course. He said, and run. Run that you can win. Here, there's coming a day. We can be the bride of Christ. The whole church was espoused to be the wife. The whole church. But it's only going to be a rib portion. A very small, very narrow way. It's only going to be a small portion that comes this way. And why do I say that? Because if you go over into the seven churches, which I love in Revelation, you go over and you look at those seven churches, and he tells every one of them, I know your works. I see what you're doing. I know your works. Are they his person and his work? You know, he went to the Ephesus church, and he told him, he commended him for many things. But he goes, there's only one problem. You left your first love. And I think that if God hasn't revealed that to us, to leave something means you went astray. You've wandered from first love. And what are you getting? Another love. There's spiritual fornication. There's adultery. These are things that he is the head of us. He is going to be my husband. And he wants us to be longing for that day. We have that hope. But if we do, we're purifying, allowing him to purify us and cleanse us and make us ready for that place. Do you know in every one of those churches, he said, he that hath an ear. Why? I'm going to tell you, you're going to see tonight. I never saw this in here before. Man, I've read it over and over and over. But in Revelation, I want you to go to the Laodicean church, because all the way down to the Laodicean, that's the end of the church age, okay? The beginning of the church age, the end of the church age. Now, I always thought it was just the people who, all these things that it said, but look at the long suffering and the patience and kindness of God, because he said unto the angel of the church of Laodiceans, write this. Why? Why write it? Because it's going to be read. It needs to be read and it needs to be heard. He said, the church of Laodicea, I want you to write this. These things saith the Amen, the faithful, he's faithful, the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. He said, I know your works. You're neither cold nor hot. And it was Gene said it. I think he said it in his sermon. I don't know where he said it, but I know I heard it. And it was, I would rather his father or someone told him, I would rather you do something and it be wrong than to just do nothing and just sit there and never come God's way. At least if you do it and it's wrong, you can grow from it. Every one of these, his love is being extended. And it says, repent of what? When he reveals it through his word to us, repent. Ephesus, repent. Understand from what you have fallen from. These are falling away that keeps going, but I love this part. He said, then that if you were just lukewarm or neither cold nor hot, I would just spew you out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, these people are good talkers. And I can think of individuals that have talked with me in innocence. They don't even realize what they're saying. I'm rich. I'm increased with goods. I'm doing great in my home. On my job? Oh, in the church? I'm increasing. No, he said, I don't have need of anything. What more do I want? It's all going great. Knowest not that you are wretched, What did Paul say? We go, oh, I don't think he's calling us rich. Hey, he did too. Paul was a saved man. And Paul had to say, oh, wretched man that I am. He had to understand what that meant. Wretched. You're miserable. And thou art wretched. You're miserable. You're poor. Because you have to have true riches. That's those blessings we talked about. It's for all men. You're blind. You can't even see. You're naked because you have not accepted true righteousness. You have to be clothed in my righteousness. I counsel thee. We get godly counsel. So we will be ready. So we will be clothed, not in filthy rags, but in the right things. He gets everything, just like it came out in testimonies, Paul's epistles, to understand that the priests, when they get everything in order, God wanted order in his house. He wants it done right. Even the speaking of tongues, he wants it done in order. When someone speaks in tongues, he wants us to know if someone walks in the door and there's no interpretation, they don't know what you're saying. He wants to get it in the right order, not to be mean. He wants to show you, instruct you, chasten you, okay, that you'll come the right way. And that doesn't mean, well, I never can speak of tongues. Oh, I better be quiet. That's where the church has gone wrong, because people are afraid to even yield to the power of the Holy Spirit. We have to be free, but we have to do it in God's order. And he said, I cancel you. I want you to buy of me, but it's gold. Tried in fire, that thou mayest be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness, it doesn't appear. Anoint your eyes. You need the anointing of the power of the Holy Ghost. And this is his word. He's saying this to them. You need eye salve. You need a healing. You need to be able to see it the way you're supposed to see it. He said, and that you may see. As many as I love, I rebuke and I chasten. He loves his own and he chastens them. But this is the part we're coming to that I never saw this before. You remember that story where he hired his servants and they all came in? The first ones came and he said, I'm going to give you a penny. They go, okay, penny for a day's work. And then he said he saw some more idle people later and he said, come over here and start working. He said, I'll give you a penny, you know, good pay for your labor. And it just kept happening and happening. Well, payday came and he took the last first. And they come in and here's the other ones who have worked. They've labored and I've heard people say this. You don't think they're gonna get what I get. I've gone to church. I've read my Bible. I've brought my children up in the ways of God. You think that in all this time, they're gonna get the same pay? Yes, they are. For one reason, God sees the attitude of heart. They may come in at the last moment, but they will see him. God makes a way. He has to bring the increase. That's why I believe that if he tells you, I don't care if they're 5 years old. If he tells you to talk about the bride, speak about the bride. My daughter came to me at 5 years old at my knees when I was in my chair and crying and said, Mommy, I want to be in the bride. How can I be? Now, don't tell me a five-year-old can't understand it, because God brought an increase. She listened to the word. She knew there was a bridal truth, and she still to this day, I want to be in the bride. I want my lips to be his lips. I want my ears to hear right. I want to discern right. All those open areas, I want them to be used for him. He says, as many as I love, I rebuke, I chasten. But when you go to verse 20, behold, I stand at the door and I'm knocking. If any man hear my voice and open that door, anybody ever heard his voice and opened up the door? We're talking about the end of the church age. And he's saying, if you just hear my voice, open up the door. I will come into him and I will sup with him and he with me. Now, get this. To him that overcometh, will I grant to sit with me in my throne, as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. You see, he's wooing them. He's talking to them. But I see such a long suffering and a patience here that's the end of the church age, the Laodicean, the time of people's rights. I'm at the door and I'm knocking. And he said, but if you overcome, you'll be able to sit with me in my throne. Even as I overcame, I sat down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He wants us to listen. And I believe that people, even myself, I mean, I don't exclude myself at all. I can be distracted like anybody else. But there are people who maybe listened once and they're dull of hearing. They need their ears to be cleaned out so they can hear him and really know. I thought of the testimony that you gave, and it was about school and how God provided all those things for you that for the school year. You see, I hear these things, and I ponder them, and I go, wow. But she got up, and she testified. That's a testimony. Look what my God did. She didn't know how it was going to happen. One time she was sick. Everything was already in the right order. God had it going perfectly. You see, she didn't have to worry about anything. God loves us. He just says, hear me when I speak. Kathy, you listen to him. Make sure you pray before you buy that. Make sure you do this before you do that. Not me. I go, oh, Lord, what did you give me this piece of junk for? He said, well, you wanted it. That's what you said you wanted. So I gave you what you wanted. Well, he's also going to give people the desire of their heart. It can be the right desire, but he's not going to force them. He's going to keep loving them. That's how Israel's going to find out. That's how people are going to realize we're going through grace right now. Think of the people who are in Revelation when their knees are going to bow. I remember in class when Gene would read this and teach it, I'd go, they're going to keep going through that and not bow their knee? It's like because that's the stubbornness of the old creation, that old man. He's stubborn as can be. And we know that. How do we know? I'm stubborn. Without Christ, I'm nothing. I can be as stubborn as the next guy. But if I thought I was the only stubborn person or rebellious at heart, I would feel pretty miserable. But I'm not. We all have areas of our life we need to listen. He that hath an ear, let him, it's yield, let him hear what the Spirit is saying unto the churches. Let's all stand for a word of